Today is Saturday, the 7th of January 2023, and this is the first session for the new year for our program on mindfulness for beginners. And I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusal Thero to today's session. And I would also like to welcome all the persons attending the session through Zoom and also the live streaming of the through the Satipasala Facebook webpage. And I would like to wish all of you a happy and mindful new year for the year 2023. Also, I would like to go through a summary of the outline of the program. We would commence the program with Bhante advising us on an in-session mindfulness practice. And then we would proceed on to the question and answer session where written reports and verbal questions may be forwarded for Bhante's kind, insightful advice. And then we will proceed on to the talk on mindfulness. And then we will start to wrap off the session for today. So as the first step, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to proceed and commence with the in-session mindfulness practice for today. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Hello everyone. So today we can spend some time doing a mindful walking session. That's the idea for today. For this, you have to make sure that you can walk for like 10 to 15 feet. That type of a space you have to find. When you have that space, make sure that there are no obstacles. Then you can start walking in a comfortable manner. While walking, we try to be aware, we try to pay attention that we are walking. And when you probably initially won't notice much, but when you walk for a while, you start to feel that your body is walking. So the idea is to be mindful, be attentive that you are walking, and notice what is happening in the present moment. So when you pay attention to your walking body, you may feel how the feet is touching the ground, which parts are touching, then the texture of the ground, temperature of the ground, those things you can notice. Again and again, we try to be aware that we are walking and continue with the process. Time to time, thoughts may appear. Time to time, your attention will go to the surrounding things. But again and again, we try to be aware that we are walking. Again and again, we notice our walking body. Then you can feel the feet touching the ground, left leg versus right leg. You can feel the weight shifting from one leg to the other. We try to notice these details while walking. Sounds may come, thoughts may appear, various sights from the surrounding will grab your attention. But again and again, we become aware. Again and again, we try to pay attention to the walking body. We try to be aware that we are walking. So that way, we will try to practice mindful walking for probably like 15 minutes. So I invite all of you to join the walking session. You can turn on your camera if you are willing. Then you can start the walking. Okay, everyone, now you can return back to your seats. So this is just 15 minutes of mindful walking. You can try this on your own. This is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. So the idea is that you can practice and see how you can maintain mindfulness while walking. When we walk, we have our eyes open. So it's a bit difficult to maintain mindfulness in a way. But when you try, you can find a balance, you can find a rhythm that works for you. So the invitation is that you can try and practice for your on your own and see how you can improve mindfulness while walking. With that, Namante, you can move forward.
Yes, thank you so much, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante for that particular advice there. And we have received some reports today, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence with the Q&A session for today. Over to Sonali. Much merit.
Avasarai Bhante. Thank you, Namantha. We have received four reports today. I'll start with the first one. First one's quite a short one, actually. Mindful sitting. Stilled the mind and entered into dreamy yet wakeful state with no dream to report. The sound of silence ringing in my ears was the only notable experience. Sometimes this sound of silence was punctured by external noises or random thoughts, and used the movement of breath or the rise and fall of the diaphragm to return to stillness. And the sounds of silence meditated for about 45 minutes. Actually, that's the end of report of the first one, Bhante.
Okay, so this is your sitting experience. While sitting, you noticed these things. So it's okay, that's fine. Various things are happening. We have various experiences while practicing mindful sitting. So you just have to continue. Various things will come. Sometimes you hear the ringing sound inside your head, kind of sound of silence, we call it. So that you can continue with that. It just continues and try to be mindful among these things. Sometimes it becomes like a dreamy state. You don't know whether it's the reality or a dream. But after waking up, after getting up from the sitting session, you recall something happened. You were there, you were mindful, but you wasn't sure during the session. It's like you can't reflect when you are there. Only after getting up, you can reflect. So that's okay. These things happen. These are various experiences that you get during the meditation. So you just have to continue. That's the advice I want to give.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move on to the second report. Sitting meditation. Sat to meditate after rushing to finish previous task. Noted body position was comfortable and started watching breath as primary object. After a short period, the breath broke up and body started to swaying, but continued to watch breath. This continued for a while, and then the body started moving in a rotating movement for a short time and stopped. Continued to watch breath, which disappeared and then reappeared on one side. There was a short time of thoughts with some proliferation, but this passed very quickly. The alarm went after what appeared to be a shorter time, and indeed it was the case. Meditated 40 minutes, usually 45 minutes to an hour. Walking meditation. Walked on tiled floor, initially mind noting, lifting, moving, placing of right and left feet. Noted sensations on soles and changes in temperature. Uneven surface, discomfort in ankle, pressure of foot on floor, Then mind noted the touch sensation of the heel, midfoot, ball of foot, and toes on floor. Then as foot was being lifted, the absence of pressure and touch sensations of these areas. At times, the walking was unsteady. Walked for 1 hour. Then daily mindfulness. Aware that tasks are being done one at a time rather than many at the same time, by choice. Some amount of work gets done and still efficiently. Mind calmer in busy phases, especially in the past few weeks with many friends and family around. Noted an unsettled mind when the day did not go according to plan, but by the end of day, all the tasks got done, including meditation and mind more settled as a result. Mind aware of positions of arms, legs, trunk at times when sitting and lying down. When walking, mind now automatically goes to feet most often, even when not meditating. The desire for external object much less. Aware of the greed that arises with regards to food sometimes. End of report. Much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. That's the end of report, Bhante.
Okay, good experience. Thank you for sharing. And if I start with the sitting session, you can see now meditation is more like happening. Initially, you started with a lot of doing. Now it is happening. Various things are appearing, disappearing. Breath appearing, disappearing. Then body rotating. So these things are happening. We are not going to interfere with these things. We simply observe. We simply sit during the sitting time. That's the idea. That's the progress in the practice. If you introduce doing to this, then you are spoiling the practice. So you have to make sure now going forward, less and less doing. And so the practice will continue. Sitting will continue. You just be there. You just sit for 45 minutes, 1 hour, whatever the time may be. Just do it for the sake of doing. Allow the meditation to continue on its own. Allow the practice to continue on its own. That's the way. That's the way forward. Now you are in that phase. You can feel that it is happening. Whether you do anything or not, meditation is happening. You just have to be there. You just have to sit for a while. You just have to continue with your walking practice. And daily practice also, you can see now the awareness is naturally arising. You are not forcing it. You are not trying to be aware. Instead, awareness is naturally there. And when that is there, you can feel among busy situations, among a lot of crowds, your mind is calm and peaceful. It's becoming much more calmer, becoming much more peaceful. That's the idea of the practice. Sometimes, as you mentioned, when we get a lot of things done in a day, we feel happy. We feel satisfied. Certain days you can't complete these things. Certain days you can't get the things done. Then you notice that your mind is frustrated due to this. So both of them are just observations. We are not selecting one over the other. Both of them are observations. We are living in a difficult world. So you can't really get all the things done. You can plan, you can try, but some days it is difficult. Some days things come up that you didn't plan for. So what I'm saying is that at a time you feel satisfied, at a time you feel that your mind is frustrated, both are equal. When you look from the point of view of practice, both are equal. It's just another observation. That's all. So we are again and again continue with this observation. Whether your mind is satisfied, you observe. Whether your mind is frustrated, you observe. That observation continues. That's the idea of the practice. Otherwise, if we select, when we get things done, we are happy, satisfied. When we don't get things done, then we are sad, worried. That's not the way. Then certain days you'll be happy, certain days you'll be sad. What we are saying is that both are equal. Of course, try. Of course, plan. Of course, get things done. But when you can't do it, when you can't complete them, it's another observation that your mind is frustrated due to this, that your mind is satisfied due to this. That's the way towards the lasting peace. Otherwise, when things are okay, when things are good, you'll be happy. When things are bad, you'll be sad. That's not the way. That's the way of worldly. That's the way of the world. Instead, both we vote equally. Both we categorize equally. When we are satisfied, that's another experience. When we are frustrated, that's another experience. Observation. That is the way you should look at these things. I'm not suggesting not to do things. Do 1001 things you can do. Try and see how your mind is reacting to these situations. How your mind is reacting when things don't go according to the plan. That type of observation, we continue. So that's the idea I want to give. Good way of practice. You may continue like that.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move on to the third report. Mindful sitting, breath as primary object. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the posture to a comfortable position. Familiar body scan took place for a couple of minutes. When breath appeared, it was noted around the upper lip and nostrils area. In-breath was cooler compared to the out-breath. Mind stayed with the sensations of breath for a short while. Attention had moved to many thoughts and noted that the mind was reacting to both the past events and future planning. On noticing this, the mind directed awareness to breath again. Lots of thoughts streamed in again. It was hard to bring the attention back to breath and keep it there. Mind felt quite agitated. Attention moved to the sensations in the body, including rise and fall of stomach. Couldn't feel the sensation of breath near the upper lip now. Noticed the slight swaying of upper body towards forwards and backwards. Lots more thoughts emerged about future planning. Sat for 40 minutes. Even though this was a shorter sitting session, the mind felt a bit lighter at the end of the session. Mindfulness during the day. The mind was preoccupied with many deadlines at work and in personal life. It was harder to concentrate on any of the tasks and felt overwhelmed. After a few mistakes, the need for slowing down became apparent. Again, after a while, the mind was preoccupied with various thoughts and plans, some useful, some not. Notice the heaviness in the mind due to so many conflicting thoughts. Wanted to sit quietly for a short period in the afternoon as the mind became somewhat calm in the formal practice early in the morning, but couldn't due to the busy schedule. Then decided to be more aware of the task at hand. This helped for a while until a bucket full of thoughts preoccupied the mind again. This process continued for much of the day. There was a sensation of being trapped by the worldly demands. Most likely this period shall also pass, but at the moment it felt like it is here to stay. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback in how best to address mental agitation. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. End of report.
Now, acceptance is the way. Even during the sitting session, you can't focus. You can't bring your attention to the breath. A lot of thoughts are appearing. They grab attention of the mind. Right now, if you start fighting this, then as you mentioned, you don't feel calm or you don't feel at ease. Instead, you are fighting. Your mind is becoming more and more agitated due to that fight. So what you have to do is that allow these thoughts to pass naturally. Sometimes it may take some time. It may take a while. They will come again and again. Just allow them to pass under the light of awareness, under the light of mindfulness. That's the idea. If you start fighting to bring your attention back to the breath or back to the stomach, then you will be more and more agitated due to that fight. Instead, allow these thoughts to pass naturally. So these are bases in the meditation. Sometimes you feel that you can focus on your breath more and more. Sometimes you feel your mind is all over the place due to a lot of thoughts. So these are just temporary phases in our meditation. So when these things come, you don't have to fight them. Instead, allow these thoughts to pass. So it's the behavior of your mind in the current situation. Even during your day-to-day life, you feel this. So this is the behavior of the mind. You can't fight it. Instead, you have to accept that this is the behavior, this is the nature. That acceptance will bring you peace. So allow the healing process. In a way, this is a healing process. While sitting, you get 1001 thoughts. We call them chain thoughts, train thoughts, various names are there. So whole bunch of thoughts are there. Entire sitting session, you feel like you were among.
Sante, we can't really hear you.
So you feel like these thoughts are here to stay. As long as you are fighting them, you are not accepting them, that process will continue. Right? So what you have to do is that allow these thoughts to pass under the light of mindfulness. So that anyway, that's happening. Even your day-to-day life, you are mentioning this. In a different way, you are mentioning that this was your observation. Sometimes you want a minute, but your busy schedule won't allow you to do so. So you have to continue with various tasks. And when you continue, you feel like you are efficient. But in truth, if you really observe, you are doing so many things, but you are not efficient. This is not the efficient way. It is difficult. I know it's a struggle between the practice versus your current life. So gradually, we have to introduce this. Gradually, you may continue. Just have this observation. In your observation, all the answers are there. In your own words, you are saying that it is difficult. You feel this friction in your mind due to thoughts. You feel it is heavy. You need a break. But still, you are continuing. It's like you are having this baggage and you are carrying it. More and more exhausted you are, more and more heavier the baggage will become. Early morning, you feel a little lighter. Throughout the day, towards the evening, your baggage become heavier and heavier. So in a way, we have to make some changes in our life patterns. We have to make sure that you are allowing some time for yourself as well. Not to meditate, just to be for a while without doing anything. Sit somewhere, drink a cup of coffee, or just go somewhere, go to the nature and walk for a while. 15-20 minutes of a break for you. Not for anybody else, not for the world, just for you, some being time, just being, not doing anything, not doing much, just sitting for a while, just walking for a while. That type of a change you have to do because you are noticing the friction, you are noticing the heaviness. That's a good observation. Without knowing this, you can't really change your life. This is the very first step. Although I can come and say, this is that what you should do. You have to observe the friction. You have to observe the heaviness. When you observe it, when you see the friction, then you will make time for yourself. Just to be, not to meditate, just sit somewhere, just be for a while. Just walk for 15, 20 minutes and just be. Take a cup of tea or coffee and have a mindful break. 5 minutes of coffee or small snack. Just small break, mindfully. Just being there, eating that meal. That type of a change you have to make sure that you are doing. Going forward, it will happen. What you have to do is that continue with this observation. Notice the friction. Notice the heaviness. This is the struggle that all of us are in. Gradually, we have to make changes. Gradually, you have to practice while moving towards a better direction. That's the idea. The source is the observation. Observation will tell you the direction. Observation will tell you the path. Or in other words, we say practice will direct you. Practice will tell you the path. Gradually you understand this is what I should do. I feel so much heavy. I feel so much friction. So I should correct myself. That observation will allow you to do that. Just continue with it, and with time, you'll find some space for you to just be, for you to just take a break, and for you to be more efficient. In a way, we think when we take a break, we are not efficient. When we do one thing at a time, we are not efficient. But see the efficiency in this process. You are doing 100 things, but still, you are not doing anything up to the level. Instead, you are doing all the things partially. You are doing for the sake of doing. You are so busy. So this is not the efficient way. Instead, if you have that efficiency, you will see sometimes you can do multitasking. We are not always saying that one thing at a time. It's difficult in a lay life. It's difficult in a busy life. Sometimes you do multitasking, but you are composed in your mind. You know what to do. You know what we are doing. You are attentive. That very practice will continue. That very practice will allow you to become more and more efficient. So continue, and you will figure out for yourself.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move on to the last report. Mindful walking session. I started my walk outside in a very wet, windy, and muddy atmosphere with lots of dead leaves, twigs, and water. I felt very dirty, but was determined to walk without taking the bus. I felt my shoes touching the uneven surface of the pavement, the dead leaves, mud, water, etc. on the ground. Then I had to cross the main road, but was very mindful as I had to be careful of the traffic from both directions. Crossed over and followed the walkway to get to the other side and carried on very slowly, mindfully and silently through the flats to get to the road. I saw cars passing and noted sounds of these. Some crazy paving slabs were damaged, so I had to ensure that I avoid these areas when lifting and placing the feet. I felt the fresh air, the sound of vehicles and people passing me, but carried on my walk mindfully, feeling the soles of the shoes and weight shifting. The thought of waiting at the bus stop came to the mind, but carried on walking after noting it. Then I came to a residential area where the walk was enjoyable, as I was able to feel some dry moving paving slabs without any humps and grass patches. Walked for 20 minutes mindfully. Mindful sitting meditation. Sat on the floor on a cushion and quickly settled to meditate. The mainline phone rang after about a few minutes, and it kept ringing for a while. It stopped after about 5 minutes, but I was disturbed. My mind kept on wondering who it was, even though I tried to ignore and settle down again, but I could not. So I had to abandon this session. I started next day with a guided meditation, as I did not want to go through the same disturbances. Settled well and started observing, scanned the body from head to toe. I felt very peaceful, and the movement, warmth of in-breath, out-breath without any thoughts. The breathing became very softer and softer, and it lasted for 30 minutes. I like to find out from Bhante why I'm able to meditate better with a guided meditation, please. Mindfulness, day-to-day activities. I do not react when I'm very calm, peaceful, and mindful, but it is not very easy to be mindful all the time. Sometimes I do react when I have too many jobs to do, but regret later. I am much better than I was and trying hard to improve. Thank you very much for your valuable guidance, Bhante. Thank you for the organizers for this program. End of reports, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, one thing I noticed in your report is that you have the option to take the bus, but instead you decide to walk and just be aware. So these type of changes are healthy in our lifestyle. It is easier to take the bus, but instead you walk for a while and try to be mindful. Try to notice that you're walking and be aware about the environment surrounding. So it's a good break from your busy life, and it's a healthy change in your routine. So these type of changes, we have to make sure that we are doing. So when you mentioned that, what came to my mind was that Seneca, he was a philosopher long ago, and according to nowadays, he was a head of a venture capital firm. So he had a lot of money, but still he decided certain things I should experience. And he was, you know, trying to experience the hunger of poor people. He was trying to sleep outside instead of the comfort of his home. And he was walking on barefoot just to see the reality of this world, just to make sure that he is grounded with the world. So these things are important. Otherwise, they take us by surprise. If you are not grounded, suddenly these things will come. Suddenly some kind of a misfortune will come. And they catch you off guard. So you are just, you know, being grounded. You just walk for a while. You know how walking feels. How tiring it is sometimes. You just, you know, experience the hunger once in a while. You know what hunger is like. You can survive without a meal. You can skip a meal and survive somehow. So these type of experiences are valuable because we don't know what's around the corner. Sometimes the misfortunes come. Sometimes certain things come, although we don't ask for them. So when they come, you have to make sure that you are grounded. You have to make sure that these things won't take us by surprise. So these are healthy changes in your lifetime. Certain days you might not be able to do it. You may have to take the bus, but still, certain days you can try and see. And whenever you feel hungry, you don't have to eat. Just experience the hunger. And this body will adjust itself after a while. It's only like 30-40 minutes that you feel the difficulty. Then the body will adjust. So these type of experiences allow us to stay grounded. These type of experience allow us to be more compassionate towards other people. If you know your hunger, you will know somebody else's hunger as well. If you know how difficult it is to sleep outside, then you might know the difficulty of a homeless person. So these things are just to keep us grounded, just to make sure that we know what's out there. So these are healthy changes that you can make in your daily life. Then when it comes to sitting practice, you are mentioning that when the disturbances come, how long it will take you to settle down, right? So this is something valuable. This is something that I wanted to talk even during the Dhamma talk today. I wanted to mention that disturbances come. The time it will take for you to settle down again is an indicator of the practice. More you practice, faster it will settle down. We are not guaranteeing a world without disturbances. That's not our way. That's not the practice. Instead, we guarantee that you can settle down faster. That's the idea. That's the idea of the practice. Problems come. People come and blame you. Various issues are there at home. But still, you will settle down faster. You will recover faster. Resilience, we say, that quality of the mind will improve with the practice. So that's the idea. So that's the answer to your questions, right? Disturbances come, but you can settle down faster when you practice more and more. What you need is repetitive practice. When you practice repetitively, you realize earlier when there is a disturbance, you can't even continue with the sitting session. After a few weeks, few months of practice, you realize that you can continue with your sitting session, probably not so efficiently, but still you can continue. And when you practice a long time, when you practice for months, you realize you can't even remember whether there was a disturbance in between. That type of a change will happen internally. Sometimes you have to go and answer the door. You go, answer the door, and come back and sit again. You don't feel the difference. So this is the repetitive practice. And initially you feel like you need guided sessions, background music to settle down. Some people, they do various kind of body scans. Some people, they just do various kind of, you know, chanting kind of things in their mind just to settle down. Right? But with repetitive practice, you realize you just sit and it naturally settles down. The mind will settle down itself without any aid. That's the experience that comes with the repetitive practice, the importance of repetitive practice. Even some people, they say, initially when I sit, I had like 5 minutes of settling down. 5 minutes of body scan, 5 minutes of guided session. But now, no guidance, no settling down, just sit and just be aware, and that is enough. So these changes, they are not magic. It's the repetitive practice. It's the quality of your mind. Resilience will improve. All these things are connected to resilience. The disturbances are there. How long will it take for you to recover? Problems are there. How long will it take for you to recover? That's the quality. That's the quality. And it'll improve with time. That's how you will find lasting peace due to this quality. Problems come. Issues are there. But your mind won't create suffering out of those issues. Your mind doesn't create so much suffering out of the problems. That's the change. That's the source of lasting peace. So continue. When you continue, you can see that disturbances come, but you settle down faster. Even sitting session, within few seconds, you settle down without guidance, without any additional aid. So these things are experiences that you will gather with repetitive practice. Continue your practice like that.
Thank you, Bhante. We've come to the end of reports. So if anyone's got questions, it's time for questions now. Please raise your Zoom hand and ask any questions. I will allow you to unmute yourself. There is one hand raised. Two. Niluka, would you like to ask your question? Unmute yourself and ask your question.
Thank you. Bhante, I'm new to this. This is about my second session. I'm also participating in the Sinhala one as well. I was wondering, when you are engaging in walking meditation, whether it is better to keep your eyes closed. That's the first question. And also, should you hold your keep your hand straight by your side or just have it in front of you?
Okay, so these are natural questions to a beginner, right? So sometimes we feel that when we close our eyes, it's much easier to focus. But the walking process, the intention is to keep your eyes open. That's the idea of the practice, because that very practice will connect your day-to-day life as well. Sitting, we have eyes closed. We have the comfort. Walking, it is a bit difficult. We have our eyes open and it's more difficult, some people feel. But that's the real practice. If you know the walking practice correctly, then you know the practice. This very walking practice will connect your day-to-day practice as well. Walking is the initial step for the day-to-day mindfulness. So the proper balance will be given by the walking. Right, so when we walk, we usually have our eyes open. That's the usual way of walking, and we recommend the same. So you shouldn't be looking all around. Instead, just direct your eyes probably like 6-7 feet ahead and just walk. Allow these disturbances. That's the idea. And even the hands, just keep them comfortably. Probably in the front, probably in the back, probably in the sides. That's fine. Yeah, whatever the comfortable way, you can keep it. And just walking. Just continue every day, 20, 30 minutes of walking do. And when you do it, you realize it's not difficult. And usually the beginners, they find walking more interesting. They find walking more enjoyable. So that's the idea. If you are new, we recommend you presenting reports weekly. If you are willing, you can present here. And you can present a report weekly. And when you continue for a few weeks, you realize these questions go away. Sometimes when you sit, we have questions regarding the sitting posture, whether it's the correct way that we are sitting, whether can we be mindful while sitting. Various questions are there, right? But with time, we can figure it out. You just have to share your experience again and again in a form of a report. That's what we suggest.
Thank you. I will do a bit more walking meditation and send a report before the next session.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Niluka, for that question, for the benefit of anyone who's starting new. And Bhante, thank you for the guidance. There is another hand raised. Arosha, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you, Bhante. So I had an observation and also a question, Bhante, with your permission. So the observation was in your response to the last report when you were talking about this recovery from disturbance, so when you note something outside the primary object, and how quickly the mind returns to the primary object. And I was reminded of the parallel between that and how physical fitness is measured, which is about how quickly your heart rate returns from peak, the peak heart rate during exercise, to your resting heart rate. That was just a reflection that occurred to me, that there is this parallel between physical fitness and mindful fitness, if you like, in this speed at which things return to a resting or a primary state. My question, Bhante, was related to report writing, which is something I find I struggle with. When I started this program, I was establishing a regular practice, and I also felt the energy and motivation to write a regular report. At least once a week, I would write at least one report. But lately, even though I'm practicing and trying to maintain mindfulness in daily life, when I try to think I should write a report, the question why and boredom comes up in my mind quite a lot, that I don't feel I have anything to say. And that's probably just explaining this question highlights that's probably the issue, that I feel I should have something to say rather than just writing what happened. So my question, Bhante, was, should I be putting more effort into writing reports, or is it okay that I don't do that as regularly as I used to? Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, Arusha, thanks for sharing that information. Although there's a parallel, I didn't know this bit of information, that measure of physical fitness, how fast it will return to the usual heart rate, right? So that thank you for that information. As you mentioned, in this world, we usually talk about physical fitness, but we don't talk about mental fitness. And that has created so much difficulty in this world. Every 80 seconds, two people, they kill themselves. Every 80 seconds, one person goes and kills somebody else. So that's the current rate in this world. A world without the idea of mental fitness. So these incidents, when somebody kills themselves, it's a classic sign that you don't have any health in your mind. You are depressed after suffering probably like so long. Finally, you kill yourself. Or you go and kill somebody else. So these are signs in the modern world. It's 10 times higher than a traditional society. So what we have acquired as technology, what we have acquired as this modern world. So we have to bring more and more light into the physical fitness. And into the mental fitness. And when we have that idea, gradually you can see that your mind is recovering faster. That's the sign. That's the sign. That's a good indicator of your practice. It depends on the problem. Sometimes big problems last longer, right? Still, you see that earlier when such thing happened, probably takes me a few months to recover. Now I recover within few weeks. And after few more months of practice, you realize within few hours I recover. So that's a sign, that's an indicator of your mental well-being, mental health. Right, with that, and moving forward, now when we begin, we have a lot of energy. We are motivated. So that's a good period, that's a good phase that we should take use of. That's why for beginners we say, write experiences every week, report back. And when you continue, not just a week, not just two, when we continue for a few months, you realize you become more and more skillful in your practice due to that initial energy, due to that initial motivation. You travel a long distance. So that's important. That's an important part of the practice. Then when we mature, it is natural that we lose interest in the practice. Sometimes when we grow in our practice, boredom hits you, right? And you feel like there's no real use of reporting back. Some people, they feel like there's nothing to report during the sitting session. They feel like that their practice is not working now. The practice is not progressing. Initially, I had so much to report. Now, there's nothing to report. But actually, that's a good sign. That's a good sign when your mind is more and more present. When your mind is recovering faster, less and less things will go to the memory during the sitting session. If your mind is utterly present, not much will go to the memory. If it goes to the memory, that's a sign that you went either to past or the future, right? That's how you will remember. That is the thought process. So when you are present, when you are utterly present, you don't create much memory. It's just another experience that you go through. And that's a good sign. That's a good sign. But somehow we say, I was sitting for 45 minutes and I had, this is my memory. This is what I have to report. Right? That effort is appreciated. You are trying to report. Although there's nothing to report, you try. You just report back. They say that I sat for 45 minutes and this is all I could remember. So that's how we have to progress. Now, probably not as per the initial frequency, but still at least once a month, we report back. We say, I'm continuing with my practice. This is my experience. Much doesn't go to the memory, right? You are just sitting for the sake of sitting. So this is the progress. Now sitting and walking, the difference will vanish gradually. Then walking and day-to-day life, the difference will vanish gradually. Either you sit, either you walk, either you do your day-to-day activities, all becomes meditation. That's how it will grow. That's how the practice will progress. Gradually, you have to experience this. If for a beginner, if you say it's all equal, either you walk, sit, or do your day-to-day things, it's all a meditation, they won't accept. That's not the proper advice for them. We say, sit for 45 minutes. Walk for 45 minutes. Continue every day. And that way, gradually they realize life becomes meditation. Living becomes meditation. You have to give the momentum to the practice. Without that momentum, practice won't grow. So giving momentum is really difficult initially. So that's why we say sitting 1 hour, walking 1 hour, do it daily. And when you continue for a few months, few years, you realize the momentum is building up. And the practice will become more and more energized. And it will start carrying you instead of you carrying the practice. Right? Then you are calm and relaxed. Then you just be and the practice will continue. Meditation will continue on its own. Practice will continue on its own. That's a very nice phase to be, you know, a comfortable phase. Whatever you do, it feels like meditation because the practice is so energized. Practice has the momentum to carry you. Till you reach that point, it is really difficult sometimes. Initially, you feel a lot of friction. But gradually, every day you spend some time, gradually you try to build up this practice, build up this energy. And when you do it, you realize now, whether you do your daily activities, whether you sit, whether you walk, the practice is there, the awareness is there. So that's how it will grow. I hope my answer was related and helpful.
Yes, Bhante, very much so. Thank you.
Thank you, Arusha, for that question. Even I can relate to that sometimes. Is there anyone else with questions? Please raise your hand. I can't see any hands raised. I think it might be time to move on. Namantha, it's we don't have any more questions, so over to you.
Thank you, Sonali, and much merit to you. And also, thank you, Bante, and much merit to Bante. Also, I would like to thank all those who are sending the reports for these sessions. Thank you so much for the reports and also the verbal questions. Next, I would go through a brief introduction on to about how to commence mindfulness practice. I will share the screen for that. Okay, so there are two YouTube videos being listed in point number one. I will put these links into the Zoom chat section. You can go through the videos on mindful walking and sitting and get a basic idea of what to do and observe and what to keep in mind to do during these sessions. And then once you get the idea, also you would have received a fairly good idea from the session itself today. You can allocate some time daily. If you're an absolute beginner, you can start with 5 or 10 minutes per session and then expand the time period up to about 1 hour per session. And once you are comfortable after doing this practice for about 4 or 5 days, you can start writing the reports. The report on mindful walking can be based on what you observe, like the sole of your feet touching the ground, bodily movements, how your attention remained on the primary object, and whether there were any disturbances, and how you verified that your focus returned back to the primary object can be listed in the report. It could be point by point, or it could be in a paragraph, like sentence after sentence, up to you. You can do that. Then same goes for mindful breathing. Primary object could be the breath moving in and out, or the abdomen movements, or any other bodily sensations. And also you can list down potential disturbances, sounds, or thoughts disturbing you, and how you verified that your focus returned to your primary object. It's quite important that you list down how you verified the returning focus, which is also part of this practice. And then you can write and send those reports to the link on the there for the Google form, or email us on the email beginnersnv@gmail.com. Then there are previous sessions on this program which you can go through on the link there on point number 5. So I will put these links into the Zoom chat section, and you can go through them. I will stop sharing the screen. All right. So now we have a few minutes left in our time frame, and I would like to invite Bante to deliver the talk on mindfulness for the benefit of all of us. Over to Bante. Much merit, Bante.
Thanks, Namantha. I think we have about 15 minutes to discuss a little bit more about the practice. Now, today I wanted to mention about the quality of a trained mind, or quality that indicates our mental fitness. So this is the quality, how fast that we can recover from a disturbance, from a problem. Your family matters are there, the worldly problems are there. Sometimes people come and, you know, blame you for no reason. So these things happen. This is the world that we are living in. Usually, if we don't know the correct practice, we try to change the world We think that's how we can find peace. We try to change other people. We try to change the world, change the environment. Various efforts are there. If you read a newspaper, you can find a lot of such efforts. If you watch TV, or if you go on YouTube, you can find a lot of such efforts. But the practicing point of view, the correct way is to change your mind. We say mind is the forerunner. When we change your mind, you change the world. When you change inside, you change the outside. That's the basic idea of the practice. Now, when we practice, in a way, we try to improve mental fitness. Or we try to train this mind. The quality called resilience will improve with practice. What is this quality? It is the quality that how fast you can recover after a disturbance. You apply a certain kind of a strain to your mind due to various things that are happening. And from that strain, from that difficulty, how fast will you recover? That's an indicator of a trained mind. That's an indicator of your mental fitness. So this analogy of rubber is given. You know, rubber also has this quality. When you have a rubber ball, when you apply certain pressure, it will deform. It will change its shape. But as soon as you release that strain, as soon as you release that pressure, the rubber ball will adjust according to the original position, original shape. This quality is the value in the material called rubber. We call this elasticity. That's the quality that will adjust itself to the original shape. As soon as you let go of the force, the rubber ball will adjust to its original shape. So this quality is compared with the resilience, the quality of a trained mind. So in rubber processing also, they use various chemicals to improve this quality. They use sulfur to improve this quality of rubber. When it comes to practice, we say by practicing, by training your mind, you can improve the resilience of your mind. How to improve? Now, let's say being mindful. Mindfulness, this practice is basically bringing your attention to the present moment. Your mind will naturally go to the past. Your mind will naturally go to the future. That's the trained behavior of your mind. That's the habitual behavior of the mind. But we, again and again, we bring our attention back to the root. When I say root, I say the present moment. Present moment, you can, you know, verify various ways. Initially, we verify with the breath while sitting. Initially, we verify with the bodily feelings while walking. The touch of your feet, the texture of your ground. That's the verification. Basically, we take the sensations of this body as the verification. When we feel bodily sensations, we are guaranteed, we are assured that we are present. You can't feel your bodily sensations while being in the past or the future. So that we take to the practice, that we take as our anchor to maintain mindfulness. But when we say present moment, when we say root, being aware is that present moment. In this present moment, you can have thoughts in your mind. In this present moment, you can have sounds. In this present moment, we have certain emotions, various other things are there. If we are aware, if we are mindful, we are present. If you know that you are thinking while thinking, if you know that you are listening sounds while listening, then you are mindful. That we can say a more advanced version of the present. For a beginner, we say, try to get hold of your body. Try to notice the sensations of your body that we take as refuge initially. Gradually, your practice will improve. Gradually, you realize being present is the way, that is the root, that is the present moment. Thoughts are there, but you know that you are thinking. Emotions are there, but you know that you feel these emotions. Sounds are there, but you know that you hear the sounds. Various sights are there, but you know that you are seeing them. That very awareness is the present moment. And when we are present, our mind is usually, naturally, calm and relaxed. If we want to create stress, it has to go to the past or the future. That very comparison will create stress in our mind. That very comparison will create friction in our mind. We worry about the past. We think that these things happened to me and maybe they will happen again. These people, they blamed me in the past. They did such and such acts in the past. And when we think, when we again and again create thoughts out of those things, then that will create friction. And naturally, difficult for you to come to the present moment. Naturally, difficult for you to maintain peace in your mind due to these thoughts, due to these emotions. So in a way, when you go to the past, you create stress. When you go to the future, you create stress. Being present, you are calm and peaceful. That very practice is we are doing again and again. We are in a way, we are training our mind to be present. We are introducing the present moment to this mind. Again and again, it will go to the future. Again and again, it will go to the past, but we introduce present moment again and again. When I say we introduce the present moment, it could be the present moment that we know that we are thinking about the past. We know that we are thinking about the future. That very knowing is the present moment. So thought processes are there. It will go with the thought processes, but again and again you practice being aware. As soon as you are aware, you are no longer those thought processes. As soon as you know, you are no longer those emotions. You have created this distance from the thought processes. You have created this distance from the emotions. That very practice is the way to improve this quality of your mind. That very practice is the way to improve the mental fitness of your mind. Again and again, the mind will create thoughts. Again and again, it will go to the past or the future. But again and again, we try to be present. In a way, your mind is going with these issues, problems, and it is creating thoughts out of these things. But you train your mind to come back to the root. You train your mind to come back to the present moment. That very training is the training for resilience. In a way, you are training your mind to recover. Again and again, you are training it. Your mind will create friction out of the past or the future. Again and again, you try to be present. Again and again, you are introducing the present moment to your mind. That present moment is always blissful. That present moment is always calming. That is the quality that we are improving. It will go to the past. It will go to the future. We recover our mind from the past, from the future, and try to bring our attention to the present. We try to be aware. That is the recovery. That is the quality. That very quality that will allow your mind to recover faster, that's the one. In a way, you are training your mind. In a way, this is healthy neuroplasticity in making. Again and again, instead of appreciating those old pathways, we are introducing this new circuits, new circuits to be present, new circuits to recover from the emotions, new circuits to recover from the thoughts. That very neuroplasticity, when you train for a while, it becomes habitual. It becomes habitual. These new pathways become habitual. Then the old ones, when you refrain from using them, little by little, they weaken. That's how the quality of this mind will improve. That's how the resilience will improve. Earlier, without the practice, you appreciated thought processes. Usually, worldly people, they appreciate the thought processes. They say the thinking, faculty of wandering, is a higher function of the human mind. They appreciate, they encourage. That's how the world is. But in this practice, we are not encouraging. We say instead, faculty of awareness is the highest function of this human mind. Whatever happening, you have the ability to be aware. It may not be a good thing. It may be a bad thought. But still, you have the ability to be aware. That thought could be full of anger or full of lust. Still, you have the ability to be aware. That is the highest function of the human mind, faculty of awareness. And we are giving more and more power, more and more control to that faculty. Outside things are happening. People are coming and blaming you. Various issues are there at home, but you are totally aware. Like those Buddha statues, you are aware, peacefully being aware of the environment. Just knowing, that is the quality of Buddha. Just knowing, just being aware, awakened one, we say. You are awake. That very awareness we are continuing, we are practicing. Problems come. Sometimes difficulties are there. Sometimes thoughts are not good. But still, we know we are not trying to suppress them. We are not trying to reject them. Instead, we try to be aware. That's why even earlier I said, certain things we take as good. Certain things we take as bad. But when it comes to this practice, both are equal. It could be good, it could be bad, evil. Still, both are equal. We consider just another experience. Good is there, we experience good. Evil is there, we experience evil in our mind. That's another experience. These two shall pass. That is the attitude we are practicing. Whatever that comes, we have this attitude. These two shall pass. And we just try to be aware till it passes. Thoughts are there, lot of thoughts, chain thoughts, train thoughts, these things are coming. But you have the ability to be aware, that very awareness, what we are practicing. When we are aware, we train our mind to be present. That is the quality of the resilience. That is the quality, how fast you can recover from something. When we say something, those are thought processes, those are emotions. So how fast can you recover from those thoughts? How fast can you recover from those emotions? That is the quality that we are training. That is the quality we are improving. Every time it goes through a thought process, you become aware. You be present. You either bring your attention to the breath or the steps, or you either just be aware that you are thinking. That's the recovery. Tiny moment, single moment, you recovered. Then again it goes with emotions, let's say anger. Then if you can be aware that you're angry, then you recovered another tiny moment. Sometimes you get lost in things you see. But after a while, you realize now I am getting lost in that thing I see. And that very awareness, you either bring your attention to something else, or you either be aware that you are getting lost and on those sights, in those sights. That's another tiny moment of recover. This again and again, we are training our mind to recover from these thoughts, emotions. Again and again, we are training our mind to recover from the past or the future, bringing it back to the present moment. This is the quality. This is the quality of the resilience. This is the quality of the mental fitness. And when it happens, you realize various things come. 1001 problems are there within a single day, but still your mind recovers. You can't even remember what happened. Certain people come and blame you. You can't even remember what they said. Sometimes, usually, the worldly people, they can remember for years. You told me these exact words, they will say after a few years even. They value it. My memory is good. They value it. But that's not the practice. When you say memory, when your memory is good, you are either lost in the past or the future. That's how the memory will create. That's how it will go into the memory. But when you are utterly present, yeah, it doesn't go to the memory. So of course, if things are valuable, if things are worthwhile, you can remember. But most of the things, they are just pure waste. People come and blame you. Why remembering? Certain things happen that are not good. Why remember? News, 1001 things are there per day. Why listen? Why remember? You can direct your energy towards much more useful things. Certain things are there that you have to pay attention. Certain things are there that you have to remember. You can utilize your energy there instead of wasting it. So that's the idea of the practice. In a way, it feels like you are suffering with dementia. More and more you practice, you are present, but you can't really recall what happened. Especially you experience this while sitting and walking. You feel like you had a episode of dementia. You were sitting for 45 minutes, but still you can't recall anything. So that's a very good way of developing your practice. Naturally, it will happen. You can't really force it. Naturally, these qualities will arise. That means your mind is ready to let go. Your mind is naturally letting go. In this modern world, we say, let go. But can you do it? You can't really do it. Your mind should be ready to let go. They say, forgive and forget. But can you do it? Somebody did something wrong and you try to forgive. You make a decision, okay, I forgive you. Then I forget. But can you? Next day also you will remember the same thing, although you forgave. If your mind is naturally letting go, initially you forget. Then it is naturally forgiven because you can't even remember what happened. So that crime is naturally forgiven because nothing goes to the memory. Initially you remembered, but within few hours you can't really remember. That means naturally that thing is forgiven. So this is how you'll become more and more forgiving in your mind. This is how this quality of letting go will arise in your mind. It's a natural quality. It'll arise with the practice. When you practice more and more, you can see this quality of my mind is improving. My mind is recovering faster. Various things come. We don't plan to change the outside world. That's not possible. We don't plan to change other people. That's not possible. Instead, we change within. When we change within, naturally, there's a message to the world as well. Naturally, there's a silent sermon to surrounding people as well. That's how you can find real peace in this life. you improve this quality of mental fitness, or you improve this quality of resilience with the practice. And when we improve, you realize 1,001 problems are there. 1,001 problems are there, but still your mind is at peace. Various people come and say things to you, still your mind is at peace. Your mind won't create suffering out of this. Your mind won't create friction out of this. That's the idea of the practice. And when we train ourselves, we can experience for ourselves. So we invite you to practice, and we invite you to experience yourself, these qualities in your mind. And thank you for listening.
Much merit to Bante. That was a very insightful and detailed explanation and talk on mindfulness, and covered some of the topics raised during the Q&A session as well. I think we kicked off into the new year with a very excellent talk and session today. And I would like to wish Bante a happy and mindful year ahead in the year 2023. And also all the listeners in Zoom and Facebook live stream, the same for the year 2023. So with that, I would like to wrap up today's session, because we are out of time at the moment. I would like to thank and pass on merit for Bante's own practice, and for Bante for dedicating the time and effort representing Nisarwanaya Forest Monastery to come into this session and impart with such insightful detail and advice on how to further our practice. Also, I would like to mention with much respect most Venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahatheru, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarwanaya Forest Monastery, for insightfully requesting to create this program. And I would also like to pass on merits to all the lay people who have initiated and who are contributing to the continued existence of a high quality program targeting mindfulness in this manner, based on the ancient tradition like this. So with that, I would also like to thank all the participants who are gaining the benefit of this program, who are looking into the Zoom session, and who are viewing this on the live stream platform. And it is because of you that the program is being continued. So heartiest thanks to you, and I pass all the merits to you as well. With that, I would also like to invite all of you to dedicate the time to practice as explained in our sessions. By allocating the right time, you can allocate each day. And also, I would like to ask you to keep on visiting the program in a weekly basis as much as your schedule permits, so that you do not lose momentum in this journey of improvement towards more and more mindfulness. So I think with that, we can stop the session for today. And I would hope to see you in the next week's session, after a mindful week ahead filled with practice and insight. So thank you all, and I would end the session. See you next week.